Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. And we're presented by EMP Unity Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMPUnityWeightLoss.com. We thank you for tuning in this Friday morning, June 29th, 2018. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning, and Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello, everybody. Good morning.
Happy Friday to you guys, as always.
Same to you.
Bunch of things going on a Friday show. Kevin will join us. We'll talk movies at 7 o'clock. Sicario 2, Day of the Soldado is out. Also, Uncle Drew. So we'll get his reviews for those two movies. John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist, joins us at 8. We're also going to be joined by Julie Donaldson. She's hosting the special Fair Play Youth Sports in America. She'll join us at 9. And comedian Tammy Pascatelli in studio at 9:20. So we got a lot going on the show this morning. But I guess we should start with the tragedy in Annapolis yesterday. I mean, it's just stunning to me. I was thinking about it. I was driving in. I mean, we've all dealt with loss. The three of us have lost our fathers.
Sure, of course.
We've dealt with different people, but it's very rare that you just lose somebody suddenly. We did with Craig. Like, that is really the only one that I could think of where you expect somebody to be there the next day, and they're just gone.
Well, a friend of ours,
unexplainable.
Dave as well.
Dave's another one.
Yeah.
That's true.
He passed suddenly.
But it's, you know, it's, you see all these messages from people who worked alongside these people.
Oh,
and they're
too
just
much.
Going to work.
It's too much.
Doing their job.
It's too much to bear, to be honest with you. I mean, you couldn't avoid the news, but I try to change the channel as quickly as I can. And then I have to get off social media, too, to be honest with you. I mean, it's a horrible tragedy. It looks like it's some crazy guy with a vendetta against the paper dating back to 2011. And, you know, he was like some stalking a chick on social media. But which is really irritates me. I mean, this is a horrible tragedy. People's lives are lost, moms and dads and brothers and sisters and all that. And immediately people go into their political crouches and they start spouting blame on each side. Both sides do it. Well, Trump did this. Or this is because Maxine Waters said that. Both sides do it. It's disgusting. These tragedies, they shouldn't be platforms for you to just demonize people that differ from you politically. And that's the biggest takeaway I have. These things happen all the time. They're horrifying. But we're at such a bad place politically that it's impossible to endure.
That's been going on for a long time. Look, I'm
worse.
Not even going to bring up my political stance.
It's worse.
My political stance has remained the same. I'm anti-gun.
Yeah. People
take the guns out of people's hands, but that's never going
to
happen.
It wouldn't even get to that point. People were just saying, oh, because somebody said this, or oh, somebody said this, and they're inciting people. And, you know, and what they're saying probably isn't correct. But, you know, we're jumping to these conclusions before we even know what's happened.
This guy's a nut job. He had a vendetta, as you mentioned, dating back 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, like back to 2011.
And it's a multi-level thing. It's mental illness and easy access to firearms. And when that happens, it's obviously, from what we saw in Annapolis and what we've seen countless times, it's a deadly combination.
How was he stopped? I didn't see that.
I think he just stopped.
Well, the cops responded within a minute.
Yeah, I mean, the cops were, you know, once the call went out, the cops were there within a minute.
And that's remarkable.
That's, and amazing. He surrendered?
He was found hiding under a desk and didn't have the weapon in his hands, I believe, when the cops
probably trying to act like a victim.
Okay. Apprehended him.
Although he's such a nut job that apparently, you know, he not cooperating, had actually, one reporter, I don't even know, I hate to say things because you don't know if it's corroborated or not, had mutilated his fingers to the point where they couldn't ID him.
Right, they'd use facial recognition.
I mean, that's something like straight out of the movies. That's like straight out of Seven. Yeah. I mean, that's what Kevin Spacey, he did the exact same thing in that movie.
I saw that he lived in Laurel. What I didn't see was whether he was employed or not.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. He's a psycho. You shouldn't pay any attention
to him. But it wasn't one of those instances where people say, well, he was the normal guy. I'm really surprised by this behavior. I saw one woman basically saying that this guy is a ticking time bomb and he's going to be some sort of mass killer at some point down the road. And I think that was 5 or 6 years ago, and it sadly it came to fruition yesterday.
Yeah, I think so. I think somebody even at the paper considered filing, I don't know what these things do, but a restraining order against him back in 2013.
Right.
Restraining orders are always weird to me because, okay, there's a restraining order, but that's just like an order.
Yeah,
if you're a psycho, you're just going to go walk over and do it.
Well, the hope is it would be deterrent because theoretically, they would be afraid of the repercussions if they
violated. Right, but if you're truly psycho like this guy, you don't care about a dumb restraining order.
If you're ready
order.
To kill people, a restraining order is not going to stop you at all. It's just not.
Yeah, I saw some touching messages from Pete Medhurst. If Pete is available, join us in studio because one of the victims worked in sports and covered Maryland.
John McNamara.
Yes.
And I saw Rick Snyder tweeting about it as well. Obviously, a colleague of his. I'm sure he's deeply affected by the loss, and you know, as you should be. I mean, that's a guy just going to work, doing his job, and then, you know, before the day's over, he's passed. And it's hard to process that.
It's brutal. It's brutal. But I don't know if Pete wants to come in and pay tribute to some of the guys because I know he's close.
He is. He's just doing a Bloomberg update. He'll be in a minute.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say about it, to be honest with you. It's just a horrible situation. You know, these things are happening. And it's just,
they're happening far too frequently. We didn't grow up with this, did we? There weren't mass shootings when we were growing up.
I don't know.
At this frequency.
Probably not. I don't know. You know, the problem is you have to cover them, but when you cover them, it gives more. It just seems like covering them doesn't do that much good either. So I don't know. People get their, I'll never say that loser's name.
No, of course not.
I don't think the media should report his name. I don't think they should put his picture
out
there. You
want to put the spotlight on the people who tragically lost their lives, not the maniac that went in and committed the carnage.
So, I don't think that changes anything, though.
Yeah, it might
some
not,
people
but
have
some
that
people...
stance, don't put out the picture, don't mention his name. I don't think that matters at all.
Well, some people I think do. They'll say there's even documents. They're documented. I'm going to be famous today. I'm going to go kill everybody in school or whatever. You're going to know my name by the end of the day. So yeah, let's stop doing that. I don't think it hurts. But again, for me, the way I deal with it, there's too much tragedy and senseless stuff in the world. When I see these things, I can't just sit there and watch it all day. I have to just change the channel, and I have to just live in my little bubble and act like it doesn't occur because it's overwhelming.
I'm typically that way. This one being in Annapolis, being so close to us.
I mean, yeah, Bestgate Road.
I watched a little more of it.
My sister-in-law was at the Lord and Taylor where they were having everyone gather an hour before the shooting. She wasn't in any danger, but it hits home. You know, my family's going to be right down there for my mother has a doctor's appointment. We'll be right in that area. Today, I mean, you know, we grew up in that area. We're very familiar with that area. Just for whatever reason, we don't have a connection with those people at the Capitol Gazette. I didn't know McNamara. I was looking at his picture today. I was trying to see if I'd seen him at a Maryland game or something, and you know, I may have.
I didn't have a personal
relationship with him. I've been to a lot of games, and you see a lot of the same faces. That's not one that jumped out at me. I know
we're not
a lot
going
of
to
those
press
media
conferences.
Yeah, but
right.
When you sit in the media, you do see this, a lot of the same people. But he's not someone that I recognize, but I know everybody around here locally definitely knew of him and had fond things to say and what a great guy he was. So it's just terrible. And he's just one of the five victims. Only been working there for a short time. One of the women, I think she's about 35 years old.
Yeah, I think she was a sales assistant or somehow in sales.
So it's just brutal situation all the way around. Is Pete done with his update? Does he want to come in? Because otherwise, we're just going to move on.
Let's move on.
Yeah, I think there's only so much you could say. So, horrible situation. Thoughts and prayers go out to them. I know I tried to occupy myself, and I made sure not to tweet about it because, in a tragedy going on, no one cares about dumb Jared Goff. But I was watching Tiger yesterday, and he finished with even par for those of you that are keeping track. The field out there is it's spectacularly mediocre.
Had a nice gallery. I also saw clips of a very sparse crowd.
Well,
elsewhere.
I've never seen scenes like this. Like Ricky Fowler was playing in the group ahead of him, and there's literally 20 people
Ricky Fowler. Whole, yeah, I saw you tweeted that the clash at Blue Mash and the war at Westfield's had greater crowds.
And Ricky Fowler's he's a legitimate PGA Tour.
He's a superstar. He's a superstar. And in years past, I've been in Ricky Fowler's group before.
He should have massive galleries.
Thousands of people following him here locally.
He had a similar gallery to Guy versus EB.
Yeah. there was nobody out there.
Guy the drunkard versus EB.
Golf in this community is going out with such a whimper. It is. It's embarrassing.
What holes were they? Because I know some of them are not that accessible.
Well, no, that's one of the holes I was talking about, 4 and 5.
Oh, yeah, okay, then.
But still, I've been out there when 4 and 5 has been a ton of people.
Right.
There was like nobody, like one person. And you're lucky because if you watch the coverage, and if you're a Tiger aficionado, which I am, they basically never veered from Tiger because there's no one else to cover. So it looked a little bit more crowded than it was just because it was a Tiger crowd. But even that was minuscule.
Was Leishman in his group?
Yes.
Okay.
Him and Bill Haas.
All they showed was Tiger.
I honestly saw 2 minutes on TV as I'm going through the channels, and Leishman was the guy who I saw, and then I saw Tiger. So that's why, okay, they were just following those.
Yeah,
those
Leishman, Tiger, and Bill Haas.
Right.
They couldn't even make a marquee group out of Tiger's group. I mean, it was unbelievable. Pete, did you want to chime in? It's a horrible situation. We're trying to
he's in Annapolis all the time.
Can't do 4 hours of just horrible stuff, but I do want to give you an opportunity to chime in because I know the folks over there.
Well, I mean, when I was 17 years old, along with WNAV in Annapolis, the capital, they gave me my first jobs covering sports. I mean, that's where I learned how to cover sports for the most part. And then when I came back from Salisbury, I did a second tenure with them, and John McNamara was one of the sports editors at that time. And as I said, on social media, John was one of those guys that, he wasn't going to blast you if you had something that, needed to be edited a lot, but he was the kind of guy that said, hey, you're going down a good path here. Here's how to make it better. And I broadcasted a lot of Bowie Bay Sox games for WNAV, and John was the first guy to, say, hey, here's what you need to know about the team, and if you need to know something else, these are the people pointing them out in the press box, who can help you the most. And that's the thing I'll always remember about John. I mean, he's the most unassuming guy in the media area, quiet guy. Wrote a book, I know, with David Elfin from the longtime writer at the Washington Times. And John was, staple covering Maryland stuff for the Bowie Blade. And for the Capitol as well. Ironically,
did he work for the Bowie Blade too?
Yeah. Longtime sports editor of the Bowie Blade.
That name did sound familiar.
Yeah.
I bet you that's why I know that name.
Probably. I mean, he was there for
a connection. Local paper when
right,
we were
still
up.
Working on it. He was still working as part of the editorial staff on that paper even today.
Mm-hmm.
He was the longtime sports editor of that paper covering, like Bowie High School.
And, that's why I know that name.
Things of that nature.
That's exactly why
they covered, a lot of DeMatha stuff at the time because a lot of kids from Bowie, bypassed the public school area and went to DeMatha. So, and ironically, and I said this last night, I knew when I left my driveway at 4 o'clock this morning that my Capital newspaper was going to be in the box. I knew it, and it was. And it's just extraordinary to ask those people to rally with their building closed down, obviously dealing with this particular tragedy. I'm watching, Bill Kranft, the acting police chief in Anne Arundel County, doing a lot of press conferences yesterday. And I'm watching, Pat Ferguson right behind him, who was the South County columnist for a long time. And essentially the paper is covering their own tragedy. So you've got to put up that wall between reporter and your personal feelings, and you've got, a deadline you have to meet usually for that paper now. It's between 10 and 11 o'clock. So you've got to try and, get past the activities of the day and put it in print form. Gerald Fishman, longtime editorial guy who was at the paper when I was there, you'd see him walking by. Brilliant. Just a brilliant man.
Mm-hmm.
Wordsmith, very gifted. And ironically, I was just looking at the edition of the paper online. The Capitol's editorial page is notorious, especially for local people. You see a lot of the same names, people who write in all the time. They left the entire editorial page blank today with just a very short message dedicated to those employees. And Gerald's name still in bold print at the top because he's one of the three people that consistently write the Capitol's version of their editorial page. So just very, very stunning, very disappointing. And I was watching it last night. We had a family outing at the Bay Sox game after my daughter's All-Star practice, and you know, I'm just watching the first few minutes of the news, and after, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, because, you know Wendy Winters, who's a longtime Broadneck area columnist for the paper, has been there for a long time. You know, she leaves behind a family with four children as well. She's been there for a long time. Gerald had been there for a long time. You know, John obviously been with the paper for 24 years. And those were the three people that I knew the most out of the five, unfortunately, that passed away yesterday. I just found it extraordinary that they put out a paper today on time. And it's just,
I'm not surprised by the professionalism, though. You know what I mean? Like, I would, it is extraordinary, but that these people are professionals. And somebody put out there yesterday, and this is what surprised me, was that these people, they truly do these jobs because they love them, because they're getting paid about $30,000 a year. And I can't even fathom living in 2018 and having a family, and you being one, let's say you're married and you got two kids, and one of them's making $30,000 slaving away at a job like the Capital Gazette.
Which
those people
are
probably working 50, 60, 70 hour weeks.
As we know, that's not a 9-to-5 job.
They're not going in there from 6 to 10 and leaving.
Taking a nap in the middle of the day.
Definitely not a 9-to-5 job.
I can't even fathom that.
You know, and I mean, yesterday, as soon as this news started to filter out, I mean, I'm immediately texting my good friend Bill Wagner, who covers Navy for the paper. Want to make sure he's okay. You know, have you heard from other folks? You know, great photographer Paul Gillespie was actually inside the building yesterday while that was going on. You know, you read about if you followed social media, one of the interns was tweeting out, you know, essentially, you know, in a panic saying, hey, we're under attack here. Here's our address, you know, and that's how I knew John had at least been shot in the ordeal, because he actually tweeted out that John had been shot during the course of the events, but he was just trying to get attention to, you know, hey, get help. We need help here. My daughter's orthodontist is in that building. I mean, it's just extraordinary the amount of traffic that comes inside that building daily. This could have been worse, but clearly this, based on the events as we now know them, the shooter certainly had the paper as the target.
Right. Here, this wasn't a random.
Well, that's what I said earlier. You missed it. We can move on. But, you know, I just so appalled by people immediately attaching political motivations to these
things.
Had nothing to do with that. Just shut up with that. Just, you know, allow the tragedy to sort of play out. Let it sink in.
Because unfortunately, these five deaths now become a pawn in this discussion.
It's awful.
They don't deserve that.
We're in the worst spot politically right now. But, all right, thank you, Pete. Thank you for that, for your insight on that. It's a horrible situation. We don't know how to deal with these kind of things. But I know that Pete had a personal connection, so we wanted to give him opportunity to kind of voice that. But we do have a big show. Kevin McCarthy's going to be on. John Feinstein's going to be on, as he typically is, at 8 o'clock. Julie Donaldson's going to join us at 9 o'clock. She's the host of Fair Play Youth Sports in America, hour-long show that they're running, I believe, on all of the NBC-owned stations.
Our guy Benji was the producer of that, executive producer.
And then, of course, we're going to have stand-up comedian Tammy Pescatelli. I believe it's our first appearance. I believe it's our first one in studio today. Don't go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Willow's on Wilson, where it's good times, good friends. Get more details at thefandc.com/summer. So that's coming up in 15 days, I believe.
Summer is officially upon us, because the temps, I believe, over the weekend are supposed to be scorching. I think Sunday's supposed to be close to 100. So,
and it doesn't feel good when it's like that.
Oh, it feels awful. It feels terrible. It makes you think, why do we live in the D.C. metro area?
Well, I had that in the Outer Banks.
So humid and sticky and hot and terrible.
I went for one run in the Outer Banks.
Yeah.
You better do it early. And I was planning on doing it probably every other day.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was going to crank out a run every day
right.
on vacation.
Sure.
But I was planning on doing it every other day, and I did it, you know, like the first Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then the next time that I even thought about it was Wednesday or Thursday. And I walked outside at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And it felt like I felt something hit me.
Sure.
And it was just the pure heat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's finished.
Yeah, turn it
it's
right
vacation.
Back in. You know what? Go back to the air conditioning.
Oh,
AC
air conditioning
is, your
is so good.
It's
air conditioning and the pool or the ocean.
Yeah. But
I don't know. I don't know what, you know, what time of year. I mean, obviously summertime is when they're out there, but I don't know what kind of weather they feast on, but the mosquitoes were out yesterday.
Oh, they
full
were.
Effect. Oh, my God. I was at my daughter's softball practice. And normally, I just drop my kids off at practice and I'll come back.
Yeah.
But it's my 9-year-old. It's a new field, kind of in the middle of nowhere. She wanted me to stick around, mm-hmm. right? She didn't feel that comfortable. So I had to sit there for 2 hours watching 9-year-olds take batting practice.
Oh.
And the mosquitoes were, I found a shade.
Yeah.
Which was fine. And you know, I was sitting there diddling around on my phone for 2 hours. But the mosquitoes are just relentless. And then they're driving the kids crazy, too, because the
sure.
kids are in the infield. You know, they're take, you know, when someone hits, when they're trying to take infield, whatever, throw it to first, whatever, do whatever you do. And I don't even know how the kids could concentrate because
yeah.
the bugs are just
the skeeters and the gnats.
And I don't know
the
that
gnats
the does bug spray really work? Does it really work?
I think it can help.
It can.
It might not stop every last bite, but I think it definitely helps.
And then I always do that tug of war. Well, don't they say bug spray is bad for you? You know,
I'm, like, I'm not. I don't worry about.
It. Is it worth it?
Does it have DEET in it?
I mean, yeah. Does it have the DEET, or is it some all natural stuff that doesn't even work?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know
I think if it works, it has DEET.
If it keeps the bugs away, if it stops the bug bites, and I don't have 1,000 skeeter bites, I'll take the risk
right.
of the DEET.
What's
Whatever
interesting
DEET is,
I'm sure you're familiar with this, but there are some people, like my wife, if there are mosquitoes, she'll go outside and she'll have 19 bites in 1 minute.
Really?
They will just swarm her and attack her in like 19 bumps.
I'm a little that way.
I
For
can
whatever
be out
reason.
There. They were out there and they were annoying me, but I'm not sure I actually got bitten once.
Hmm.
Now, why is that?
I don't know.
Is it like your pH value of your skin or something? Like
not
what?
Sure.
What is it?
Your pheromones?
You know, they're not sized for you.
They don't get. I mean, they're sized to annoy me.
Yeah,
but they don't bite me like they do other people.
I mean, we were out at 1757 earlier in the week, and I mean, I don't know how many acres is that golf course? 500? 1,000? Who knows? And the
Probably
one person that got stung by a bee was drab T-shirt. I mean, we're sprawled out
right.
of the cart path. I mean, just in hysterics. And I can understand that. All of a sudden, you get stung by a bee. You're not expecting it. But, look, bugs are just attracted to some people, and other people, I guess, they just avoid. I don't know.
I've
been actually was sprawled out on the ground.
Pretty close to it.
I'm sure it's not an exaggeration at all.
Valdez.
I mean, it's a bee sting.
Yeah, bee
so
stings
tell
hurt.
Me what happened.
It lasted
to him
like 7 seconds. And
physically,
then
he actually was on the ground.
He definitely crouched down at least close to the ground.
He took off his shoe like it was on fire.
It wasn't fire. There was a bee in there, dummy.
It wasn't in there.
Yes, it was. It was inside my shoe.
I mean, maybe a little embellishment from my side, but not a lot. Mm. Now, this is my eyewitness.
What's it supposed to be like the this weekend? What are we looking
Hot
at?
Hot and humid, like 95, 98.
Right.
It's going to be one of your favorite boy bands from the 90s, 98 degrees.
It'll be fun out at Avenel on Saturday.
Oh, right.
You're going to walk the
yes.
course on Saturday?
Yes.
Well, I just hope Tiger makes the cut.
That Tigerless field.
Yeah, I hope Tiger makes the cut because he's right there in the middle. He's fine. I actually give him credit because he hit the ball fairly poopy. But his basic, for the most part, from fairway to green, he's pretty darn good. Just couldn't make a putt, and he couldn't really get going off the tee.
Mallet putter wasn't working out?
Well, no, he just...
I think he was misreading.
He had
putts.
Poopy reads.
Yeah, I think he was
He looked very baffled by the greens.
Yeah. And that's a tough course. You know, there are a couple guys that went 7-under, but those are outliers. You got to keep... If you keep it in the fairway, you could do that.
I was actually more interested, not that I watched it, but I did see the result. I was more interested in John Smoltz playing on the senior PGA Tour, and he didn't admit afterwards that his game just isn't up to snuff for whatever course they played it.
Right.
He shot a 85.
Right. Which tells you how difficult that setup must be.
I think he finished in 150th.
Right. It tells you how difficult that course must be. It must be. They're probably playing from like 7,800 yards or something.
I just saw that John Smoltz was playing in the Senior PGA Tour. So I was intrigued, clicked on the story, and I was like, whoa.
Golf is just getting...
And he just fessed up. He's like, you know, I guess he thought he was, you know, good enough to compete.
Well, no, he just probably qualified because it's the U.S. Senior Open.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
So he just probably qualified as local players.
But you still have greater expectations.
Of course. But I'm sure he qualified on a less than, U.S. Open level course.
Right.
And, you know, the technology and these guys are so good now, it is completely unrelatable even to a good golfer. Because I was watching yesterday, and Tiger had 181 yards or something like that, and they were like, yeah, 9-iron. And I'm like, what?
Meanwhile, I'd get out my hybrid club to hit that shot.
That they hit it longer than we do, but it's way beyond what it even used to be. Like, 9-iron from 181 uphill? I mean, give me a break. And then, they're hitting the stinger 280, 290. And like, no one can relate. I mean, it's just a different game. And it was in the U.S. Open. I think it was the U.S. Open. There was a par 3 that was 287 yards. I'm like, what?
I need my par 3
that was number 2.
I need my par 3 to be like 110, 120. That's flakes.
And
Kepka's
hitting a 5-iron into like a 240-yard par 3.
No, one of them was like 260 plus. It was ridiculous. And we can't even relate to it. So when John Smoltz goes out there, you know, he didn't have a 260-yard par 3 at his home course or wherever he's shooting in the mid-70s typically, or he may be even going lower than that. And then you go out and you play with the big boys and you see, oh, it's a different game. Go ask Mark Rippon. It's a different game when you get out there. Go ask, Steph Curry acquitted himself way better than I thought he would. I was killing him. And he actually did way better than I thought.
But generally, stick to the celebrity tour.
Well, God bless you for trying. It's like the Tebow thing. I love you for trying, but.
Well, why would he not try? I mean, he qualified, so he gets the pass to do it. The problem is he played like EB said, at his local country club that he can go
EB, the clock's,
spank.
Clock's ticking on you less than 2 years before you can join the senior tour.
Yeah, I know. That was always my goal.
The clock's ticking.
Have your game tight by 50. Figure by 50, you have it figured out.
What have you done to tighten it up?
Not much. Watch a lot of golf.
Right.
It's way easier to watch it.
It's learning by osmosis.
The only thing that's tightened with his game is his knees.
I'll be honest. It's a lot more fun to watch golf on TV than it is to play it.
Golf.
Playing's fun, you know, when you're going well and you got a little stretch there, you maybe par, birdie a couple holes. Then you get on the bogey train, and it's not that much fun. It's way more fun to watch the big sillies do it.
That's the beauty of playing in a scramble, because, like, after the first hole, the marshals came by and said, fellas, bogey's the worst score for you today. We said, silly.
Well, yeah. If you can, when you're in a group, you can't get. I mean, if you get the bogeys,
but getting a par, you feel terrible.
Yeah, right.
A bogey, God forbid.
We had one bogey.
I mean, if you have a double bogey, just pack up.
Yeah, golf. Just leave.
Can't have a double bogey in a scramble.
No. By the way, ridiculous. John Smoltz is in the Hall of Fame, Major League Baseball. And he said qualifying for the 39th Senior Open was probably the number one thing that he's ever accomplished. The Hall of Fame.
Hey, people take golf seriously.
That's how much of a golf nerd he is.
Right.
He won the Cy Young, and he says qualifying for that Senior Open was the best thing he ever accomplished. But here's how he opened it up. 4 straight bogeys. He started out on the bogey train.
Were they playing the Blue Mash? Because I would open with 4 straight bogeys. I'd be happy with that score.
It's true.
He said, I can sum it up.
Par 3 is even hard. Par 3 is even hard.
I made a lot of easy bogeys, said Smoltz, who missed a 4-footer for par on the first hole that set the tone for the day. A lot of par putts turned into easy bogeys. I did not hit the ball in the fairway enough. I thought I hit a lot of good shots, just didn't get good results.
You know, I was listening to PGA Tour radio yesterday as I was driving around. And they just had some like random instructor on there, and they made a point. And it's, we know this, but if you think about it for a second, it's like really true that golf is the only sport, really, maybe tennis, but I don't even think tennis is that way for the most part, where you play more and more of it as you get older. No other sport is like that. You know, you might play once a week, twice a week, and then you retire at 55, let's say, if you're lucky enough to, or, 60, whatever, and you say, I'm going to play golf every day, for the next 15, 20
right.
years. It's the only sport that you do. You don't do that with basketball. You don't do that with soccer. You don't do that with baseball. I mean, you can do it, and some do it with tennis, But really, golf.
Because, yes, it's an athletic endeavor, but let's be honest, you can be an old fat guy and still play well. I watched.
Sure.
Because where my wife's timeshare is in the Outer Banks, it's on hole number 11 or hole number 12. And I would watch some groups go by each morning. And there was one group that I looked at, and one of these old guys had like a cakes like swing where he only brought it back like this far.
Yeah.
But I marveled. He hit that thing perfectly straight.
Sure.
Perfectly straight. And then there was a young guy in the group, maybe his son, maybe even his grandson. I don't know. His grandson looked like, you know, a pretty big guy, kind of ripped, took out a driver like he was going to try to drive the hole, boom, into the woods.
Right.
I mean, you hit it straight. Doesn't matter how you do it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what those old codgers do. They just kind of beat it down.
My problem is I take out the quarter swing and I don't hit it straight.
Right.
Yeah. Now that's a problem.
But, yeah, man, everybody knows. I always tell my buddy Tom, and we all have friends like this, you just got an old man par. short drive, a short second shot,
right,
little pitch, and a putt. That's an old man par.
Yep.
All day long.
I'd take that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But anyway, if you're a Tiger watcher and you're interested, he's even par. I don't know what he is, like tied for 48th, whatever it is, right in sort of the middle. It's a smaller field. It's not only a poop field. It's a small field. So there's only 120 golfers out there.
Oh, it means less guys make the cut.
Yes.
Oh, that hurts for the golf pool.
So if you're in a golf pool, yeah, you know, they're not going to be 80 guys making the cut.
Now there's going to be about 60.
Yeah. So, you know, I think he can certainly go low and get a couple under par. But don't get it twisted. Avenel has, you know, a lot of people kind of poop on it because it's next door to Congressional, which is this legendary course, this iconic course that's held U.S. Opens. But Avenel is a tough track. They have that rough, always nice and thick and lush.
Well, our resident golf expert said it himself. He's played it over 20 times.
I played it 20 times in my illustrious career.
It is a tough track.
What is the quote, Matt Valdez?
I forget, but if you're wayward, if you're wayward off the tee, you're basically scrambling for par.
By the way, as a golf expert, how did your picks do so far through the first round?
Well, Tiger,
like your long shots, your sleepers.
Well, Tiger was my pick to win, so he's even. Stuart Sink was one of my sleepers. I think he came in at 2 under or 3 under.
All right, that's solid.
And Denny McCarthy was another sleeper I had. I think he finished
1 under.
1 under.
He actually was, I think he was like 3 over.
Yeah, he was 3 over at one point.
And then he got hot.
And then my players to fade was Mark Leishman. Yeah, he ended up being 3 under. So that's not good.
All right, as always, if you want to chime in on anything, phone number is 800-636-1067. You can call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Listener Line. We'll open up the Junkies Sports page next, filling in on what's going on with the Washington Nationals and more here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Are either of you guys on vacation next week? Because Jason, of course, was off this week. I was off last week. In the summer, a lot of times we're just passing the baton, like we're running the 4x100.
I believe I have another week to burn, but I don't have one scheduled. But I've toyed with the idea of just taking the Thursday and Friday after July 4th off and taking a little mini vacation.
I think I'm off that. Well, I may come in. I know I'm off the Monday and Tuesday, if not next week, the week after.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are set to be here on Monday.
Set to be, definitely here
That'll
Monday.
It'll be a rare four-man show.
We'll be here
summer.
Locke, I'll be here Monday and Tuesday.
Gotcha.
We're off Wednesday, obviously, because it's July 4th. I may have a little mini vacay for Thursday and Friday.
Gotcha.
We'll see.
Let me guess what you're going to do. Go to the poker room at MGM National Harbor.
Well, I'm definitely doing that Wednesday because Wednesday, July 4th, is, of course, the Cakes Classic.
Ah.
Possibly in the brand new poker room. Stopped by MGM National Harbor yesterday.
Oh, you did?
I did.
It's unlike you because you went over there to get some chips.
I did go get some chips.
Okay,
I couldn't actually
sense.
Play, but I had to go get my monthly allowance of chips.
Right.
So I did that yesterday, inquired about the poker room. It's nearly done. Not 100%, but it might be ready for the Cakes Classic.
When they give
July
you the
4th.
Chips,
yes.
Can you just take them directly to the cage?
I could.
I know you don't.
If I wish to do that, I could, yes.
Nice.
I've never done that. I usually either put them in play or
put
stuff
them
into my poker little black backpack. That's usually the move.
So great.
It's a good look, it's a good setup for both parties.
Right.
I enjoy being the MGM National Harbor Poker Ambassador. They're very nice to me when I go out there, and I spread the word about the room. See, it works. It's called synergy.
All right, let's open up the Junkies Sports page, filling in on what's going on in the sports world. You know, we spent a lot of time this week talking about the Nationals. They were shut out twice by Tampa. And now they're in the midst of a four-game series with the Phillies, one of the two teams ahead of them. Of course, the Braves are in first. And yesterday, the offensive struggles continued. Aaron Nola, who's probably going to be an all-star game pitcher, earned his 10th win for the Phillies. He pitched into the eighth inning, struck out eight, allowed just one earned run. The Nationals, I think, scored two in the ninth, but it wasn't enough. They lose the Phillies 4-3. Tanner Roark was fine. Six innings pitched, seven hits, gave up just one earned run, but they just can't get the offense going.
Bryce had a nice hit to the opposite way. I saw that, I think, in the sixth inning or something. That looked good.
Is that like the bar? A nice hit? It was 1-for-4.
Well, no, you need those. Yeah, 1-for-4 is 250. 1-for-4 is silly.
For him, it is.
1-for-4 is silly.
This season.
He needs
it's
to
called
start
a building block.
He needs to start hitting some bombs. You take 1-for-4 every day. You ask these guys, they'll take 1-for-4. It looked good. It looked as good as I've seen Bryce in a while.
They wouldn't take 1-for-4 every day. If you told me at the beginning of the year, Daniel Murphy, Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, they're all going to average 250.
In terms of the consistency of it.
You would say it's a bad year.
In terms of the consistency of it, 1-for-4 is pretty good.
It's not good enough for Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, Daniel Murphy, right. Ryan Zimmerman, all these guys should be hitting better than 1-for-4.
Yeah. Well, for Bryce, it certainly was a move, a step in the right direction. Let's see. I don't know. I think he's close to breaking out of this. Still stuck on, I believe, one homer
during
the month of June.
Pete Medhurst brought up the struggles of Mark Reynolds. Nice story when they signed him, and he was hot at first. And I watched at the end of the game, they actually had the potential, you know, tying run at the plate when I was watching Mark Reynolds. And he struck out so easily on sliders, and Pete said he was 3 for his last 43.
Mm-hmm. I think it's 3-for-48.
Oh, 48.
Yeah, I believe that was the number from Pedro.
Brutal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a nice story, and maybe he'll get hot again, but they could use Ryan Zimmerman back. He, by the way, could begin a rehab assignment next week.
What is it, an oblique that's holding him back? Is that what it is? I think it's something like
that. My obliques have held me back for many, many years, so I can understand.
A little extra obliques.
Obliques are those called love handles.
So much extra.
Yeah.
And Steven Strasburg could throw a bullpen this weekend. So
finally.
A little injury update. He apparently played some catch yesterday.
Right.
Well, so hopefully
if he throws
he'll be
it this
back
weekend,
soon.
He may melt. I hope it's a short session.
Tonight
Strasburg.
On the mound for the Nationals, Eric Fetty, who you know is hyped up. He's 0-3 so far with a 5.3 ERA.
Right.
So they're 41-38, I believe.
They're struggling.
Just three games above 500.
There's no question about it. They're struggling. Rizzo talked about it. This series with the Phillies is as big as it can get in late June. Big as it can get.
Need a split in Philly. Can't go up there, lose all four, lose 3 out of 4. It's just a bad look.
Yeah.
I saw our boy Danny Ruye, Funny Danny, on Twitter tweet something which kind of agreed with it. It was a sarcastic tweet, but he said things to say positively, something in fact, things to say positively about the Nationals. They're in a weak division. And that, then he wrote, that's it.
End of tweet.
Well, they have Max Scherzer. Max, you know, is a leading MVP candidate. And they have talent. That's the thing positive you could say about the team. They have talent, and they're just underperforming.
And lots of games upcoming against the terrible Mets and Marlins. I believe
but
the Marlins
I'm sure that
are on
the Braves and Phillies play those teams too.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's not necessarily an advantage. You need to start playing better. So hopefully the lineup will get going. Maybe that one hit by Bryce will get him going. But we thought the three doubles was going to get him going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, eventually, I got to believe he's going to get going. He's Bryce Harper.
No, he's going to. He's going to. He's going to break out of it. I think
at least
I saw
he's not having a Chris Davis-like year. Chris Davis, who makes, I don't know, $15 million a year. Valdez, maybe you know how much he makes. He makes a ton of money.
It's $160 is his contract.
$160 million.
He was hitting .140.
Oh. Yeah. Well, they benched him. It got into the point where we talked about it. There are bars in Baltimore that are offering free shots the entire bar if he gets a hit. Yep. That's not even a homer. That's
just a hit. Just a hit.
That's crazy.
I didn't check the standings today. I believe they're 40 games under 500.
Hey, hon, we get a free Jaeger shot if Chris Davis gets a double.
It's so weird. It's so weird when you know, like, Manny's just for 100% going to be traded. It's just a matter of where. Was it the Dodgers? I'm hearing that they're the biggest player in this.
It changes every week.
And what are they waiting for to just fire I mean, Buck, they love Buck, but move him. They're going to fire What's the name of the GM?
Duquette.
Duquette. They're going to have to fire him. He's obviously done a horrible job of stocking him with talent. I mean, he has to be fired, Duquette.
Right.
I don't know, what are they waiting for?
I got size for Andy McPhail. No one else did.
Right. But Buck's a good manager.
Like no, yeah, right. But it's not working. No,
Buck's a very good motivator, and he's good with the players. And what separated Buck when the Orioles were going to the postseason and were successful is that Buck valued on base and home runs. So he would have everyone try and basically bomb the ball out of the park. Now that's commonplace in the MLB, where every team, all they want to do is just bomb it out of the park. Right, and now all that sabermetrics have caught up to the team, and now the Orioles are just nubs now.
But it's not his fault that a couple years ago they didn't bring back, you know, Nelson Cruz.
I'm not saying. I don't blame Buck as much as I blame Duquette. No. Duquette's the first one that should go.
I don't blame Buck at all.
And then Buck just has to go, when you have the worst record in baseball, you got to get fired.
They overachieved for a couple years. But to fall this far back is unbelievable. World Cup yesterday was your last day of the first round, and you had Poland beat Japan 1-0, and Colombia beat Senegal 1-0. And the weird thing happened where Japan and Senegal had the same number of points, 4 points. They had the same goal differential, so it came down to their fair play rules, whichever team had less yellow cards.
Right.
And Japan advances.
Yeah, Senegal gets sent home.
Bad beat for Senegal. England lost to Belgium in a game that neither team really wanted to win.
Drab t-shirt was England, all over the under.
They didn't play Harry Kane, who had a hat trick. And the thought is that they, by finishing second in their group, they have the better matchups. I think they have like Sweden and Switzerland potentially in their next couple of games versus heading in a group which would have Brazil.
Somehow I didn't get the under bet in for England and Belgium, but I was able to sneak in that Senegal, was it Colombia? Is that who they were playing? I was able to get that over in, and they scored one total goal.
Nice.
Valdez, settle up with the book. I'm officially done.
All right.
Hemorrhage away any more money.
Just to get you ready for the weekend watch, Saturday, 10 a.m., France versus Argentina.
Okay.
You get to see Lionel Messi again. And at 2, Uruguay versus Portugal, you get to see Cristiano Ronaldo.
Is that today?
Tomorrow.
I need
Drab's hot picks.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, how did your... Did you already say how you picked it?
Yeah, well, I was all over the under. I knew it would just be a super slow game.
Right.
But I think I said draw as well.
You said.
Yeah.
I did say draw.
He was more adamant about the under, though.
Yeah.
He just got sized for a juicy 0-0 payout.
By the way, another side soccer note. Wayne Rooney landed.
Yes, he did.
At Dulles yesterday. Big crowd out there to greet him. And then he just popped in at a DC pub while the England game was going on. And he's just getting swarmed by people left and right.
I don't
selfies
know if this
everywhere.
Was true or not. I heard their GM make a comment that he thought Rooney was going to arrive with more suitcases, that he only arrived with 10.
Oh, he had 10 suitcases?
Well, I mean... He's moving here, I'm assuming, for several months.
He wasn't going to show up with a
suitcase.
You can tell he's a baller, because when he came through arrivals, he had a big entourage, maybe 6 or 8 people, and he wasn't carrying a single bag.
Right.
He was having all the dogs, like even a carry-on. He wasn't even carrying that.
That's
he was
silly.
Walking through, doing his thing. You look at him and say, that's a big selling. If you're
so
not
they're
carrying
expected
one bag, you're a big selling.
To have Wayne Rooney in the lineup. July 14th, when they open up Audi Field just down the street from us here at 1015 Half Street.
Drove by it yesterday. Looks impressive. Now it's from the street.
No idea where it is.
Right across the stadium.
You go across the bridge. If you go past Nats Park, and Nats Park is on your left, is that South Capitol Street.
Uh-huh.
When you get to that light right before you go over the bridge, it's on the right-hand side. It's right down that street.
I never go over there.
You know where we check in by the media?
Yeah, I never go over there.
From.
I haven't been there.
That's the that's the shortcut to MGM National Harbor.
Yes,
of course. Your boy knows.
You drive
that
by
now.
It all the time.
Of course I do.
All right, coming up next, we'll fill you in on what's going on at the movies. Kevin McCarthy, our reporter from Fox 5, joins us to fill us in on Sicario 2, Day of the Soldado, and Uncle Drew here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.